Hello, hello. Welcome to Grad Chat by PhD Balance, where we talk about topics of grad school beyond academic research. And those topics might be a little bit more difficult to talk about in our day-to-day lives. I'm your host today, Aiden. I'm the digital media coordinator for PhD Balance. I'm currently doing my PhD in geological sciences at the University of Saskatchewan. So before going any further, I would like to pay respect and acknowledge that I occupy Treaty 6 territory, a traditional meeting grounds, gathering place, and traveling route to the Cree, Soto, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene, and Nakota Sioux nations. If you do like what you see here, check out our PhD Balance YouTube channel and Spotify for more grad chats, and don't forget to subscribe for notifications about when we go live. So moving into our topic today, it's called Getting Involved in Grad School. I'm really excited to welcome our guest, Caitlin Cardetti. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
So Caitlin is a PhD candidate in molecular and cellular pharmacology at Stony Brook University in New York. As she is finishing her graduate school career, she has been reflecting a lot on her experiences and realized how influential getting involved in graduate women in science and engineering, GWISE, and other extracurriculars have helped her succeed. And so she is here to talk about them today. Welcome.
Hello.
Happy to be here. Happy to have you here. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about yourself before we get into anything?
Just thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And this is kind of a talk I have a lot informally with the students in my program and at my university.
That's really cool. Advocating for getting involved in things is really important. We mentioned the GWISE, but what other type of organizations or activities are you involved in, or have you been involved in?
So we refer to it as GWISE, less of a mouthful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm like, how do I say this without tumbling all my letters?
So that one has probably been like my biggest commitment that I've done for quite a few years at Stony Brook University. But I've also been involved in the graduate student organization, the GSO, which is our graduate school government, as a senator representing my department. I've gone to a couple different clubs. Sometimes it's like once and I realize it's not a good fit. And those include like, I one time went to like our ballroom dancing club with one of my cohort members, and that was a lot of fun. But since I had two left feet, I decided that was not a good fit for me. I'm also involved in some more like community-based organizations. So I haven't done much with them more recently, but a few years ago, I was helping out with SALI, which is Science Advocacy Long Island, and it's just a grassroots organization on Long Island. That promotes different topics. For example, one event I helped out with was we're talking about water quality specific to our community. So we put that together with different like Stony Brook professors and then also local politicians. And it was open to the public. And they've also done like some vaccine outreaches specifically for like HPV vaccine for teenagers. Also getting like Narcan training and talking about like the opioid crisis locally. I've also done more like athletic type adventures out here. Like we have running groups. I've made a lot of peers at school and we've kind of have like an unofficial running group. So I don't want people to think that, you know, getting involved in grad school has to be this like very formal adventure where you like join a club or that you have to have like a leadership position. I definitely think it's just about finding your community for all the different aspects of who you are. So, you know, you went to grad school, you found your community for your research interests, but there's probably a lot more to you than just your science or your field. So
yeah, I think that's so cool that there's so many that aren't just school-based, like you're in molecular and cellular pharmacology, but half of the things you're talking about are definitely like very community-based and getting involved with outside sources as well. So you have all of these different organizations and activities that you do. How do you think they've benefited you both personally or maybe in your schooling too?
So they've definitely benefited me. So for example, running, great release for like stress, so which we all need in grad school. But for example, G-wise with that, I've done mentoring with undergrads that are in STEM. I have also done some teaching through, they do a high school WISE outreach program. So this last year I taught 10 different classes and I designed the curriculum for some high school women. And we went through like CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. Unfortunately, this past year it was virtual. Normally they could come to the lab, but that really helped me solidify that I would like to teach long-term, like as a career, and has driven me more to realizing that I want to focus on teaching and research, but more so teaching. And I would like to ultimately work at a PUI, like a primarily undergrad institution. So it's helped me solidify like my values and my goals. And it's also given me a way to gain experience teaching, which will just, you know, help me grow in that field going forward.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Are you an extroverted person? Is it easy for you to get involved in these things? Because personally, I'm quite introverted and it's hard for someone like me to like push myself to get involved.
So this is a discussion my boyfriend and I have a lot about what I am. So I definitely identify more as like an introvert. I like to have a lot of alone time to recharge. But on the other hand, I am very sociable. So I don't really have necessarily a hard time interacting with people, but I like to do it on like a smaller basis. So for example, like the high school WISE class, I had six students. Okay. So it was a lot, it was pared down a lot. My running group, we, you know, sometimes run together, but a lot of times it's just me and one other individual. So it's, you know, hanging out with that one friend, which I find a lot less overwhelming than the bigger groups. And I think it gets easier if you attend, like for GY sometimes has like a brown bag lunch or bigger events where there are a lot of people. And I tend to be, you know, it's easy to be off in the side and you can just observe. You don't have to like always be actively talking and you can just, you know, stay on the side if that's more your comfort zone. But I've definitely seen people who've come more and more and then they start to feel more comfortable and they open up. So I think, you know, there can be a place for you, whether an extrovert or an introvert, in getting involved. It's just finding what your comfort zone is.
Yeah, that's a really great point because I have a really hard time going to like a small club versus going to a larger club, because the larger club, yeah, I can just sit on the sidelines. You know, I start seeing friendly faces every so often, but with the small ones, I feel like I'm just like walking into this scary thing. So yeah, that's a really great point too. With all of these things that you do, how do you find the time to do it all between your school and relationships and personal life?
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult to balance grad school with nothing else.
Yeah.
But I see this as like an investment in my mental health, in my, you know, building soft skills and stuff for my career. It's, you know, it's an investment in me. So one thing, if you look into like the science behind like mental health, a big component of, you know, being happy and healthy is finding your community. So I see this as an investment in helping find yourself, your community. It's also something that like I look forward to. Like, I'm not saying to just get involved to pad your resume or your CV, like get involved in things that you actually are interested in. And it will be putting things on your calendar that you look forward to. And that investment in your mental health will pay you back in the end and like make you a more productive grad student. So it's all about balance. I don't think there's like an easy, like, this is how to do it. But I think it's important to have the like mind frame that it's an investment in yourself, which will ultimately be an investment in your work.
That's, yeah, I love that. And hopefully whatever anyone gets involved in, they actually enjoy doing as well. So you being involved with running, like obviously that physical fitness, quite important for most people. And it's especially important for my mental health. So I think of it as like an investment for my mental health as well. That's awesome. What are your supervisors, mentors, what do they think about you getting involved with all of these different things? Are they worried about you falling behind with your schooling? Or do you have any advice for people who maybe don't have supportive PIs?
So I'd say my PI supports me. I don't want to say he doesn't. He's definitely had comments about me being like very involved and like socially active. But at the end of the day, he, you know, respects me to make choices for what I need. I think you just have to have like, you set your hours and you set your boundaries. There's a lot of activities that can occur outside of your lab hours. So I think as long as you are showing up to work and doing your work, you shouldn't feel bad about not staying extra or anything like that. And also to a certain extent, like, it's none of your PI's business.
I love that.
So, and sorry, I keep saying lab. I'm a scientist, but I know there's other grad students. So, you know, whether it's your writing or your TA requirements or, anything else, just interchange it in there for me.
Yeah. How would you advise those people who maybe don't have supportive PIs and are looking to get involved but feel like they always have to be in the lab, they always have to be writing or doing their TA stuff, and it feels like there's no way to get involved?
So I would say for them it's even more important, because you can find people who are supportive. Maybe you might find peers that are going through the same kind of issues, and then you'll have someone that you can actually talk about it with and you can work through it with. There's definitely ways where you can probably work it into being supportive. So for example, my university offers this writing boot camp, and you know, it's a place that you can go and you can write and you can be around others who are also writing and supporting you. And I would count that as getting involved. You know, it might be different than taking on like a leadership role in a club, but it still gets you out there and meeting other people on your campus that you might not have initially met, and you might find connections. And it also supporting the, you know, the work that your PI wants you to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, still going back to the whole set your hours for when you need to be in work. What you do outside of that is your business, not necessarily your PIs. And I also seek others in your department that are more supportive of your ventures, maybe like a grad program director or another professor in your on your committee that can maybe help you.
Vouch for you. Yeah, that's great. You talked about, I think this was a question that we had gotten from viewers, but what was it like to start mentoring and teaching high school students?
I actually thought it was a lot of fun. So I've done some teaching to like K through 12 outside of, before I came to grad school, when I was a research assistant. I think they were sixth graders, and we put together like a forensic science module. So I remembered having fun doing that. So when the opportunity came up again in grad school, to do kind of a similar thing where I get to put together my program and then teach them, it gave me something to look forward to. So I think it helps a lot with like imposter syndrome. You know, sometimes you feel like I don't know anything, but if you are able to teach it, that's evidence that you do know stuff. And the high, you're also talking to people who are outside of your field. Like high schoolers don't know molecular biology to the level like graduate students do. So you realize like how much you do know that others, that like the general public doesn't know. And I think that helps you have like a better self-image. And at least for teaching the high school students, they opt into this. So they're already like a self-selected group that's excited about the topic. So it's just nice to be around others who are excited about the topic you're teaching.
Yeah, that's a great point. I did some outreach stuff. We had a girl in our department started a geology outreach program for, they were mostly like K to eight age range. But it was fun getting involved with them and realize like, oh wow, like they don't know any, like they get excited over just this little rock. And I'm like, you see the value of what you have learned then too. That's awesome. So you also mentioned that you want to teach with like primarily undergrads then. You don't want to go like into like further academia teaching, like doing grad school or like having grad students and stuff?
I'm not opposed. I mean, I'm open to maybe teaching grad students. I do do a few lectures that are for grad students already, but I kind of like the younger group. I think they have a lot more excitement. They're still doing a lot more exploring than graduate students might necessarily be doing. And I think that like that's a better fit for me. But as I said, I'm not necessarily opposed to, you know, doing stuff at the graduate level either.
For sure. That was just a personal question I had. Okay, so back to kind of trying to balance all of these things. Do you ever feel guilt about being away from your own work? Like the toxicity of academia telling us that we always should be like working and stuff. And I know we're really trying to break that stigma, but do you ever feel like, oh wow, I should be doing more? Or have you kind of put that shame behind you or any type of guilt?
I definitely do sometimes experience some guilt. I think that's, you know, normal. Although I wish it wasn't. But I think as the years have gone on, now that I'm like in my final year, I definitely feel a lot less guilt. I think, you know, without some of the experiences I had, getting involved, like I wouldn't have been able to like narrow down where I'd want to go with this PhD as much. So it's one of those, like, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And that's kind of why I wanted to make sure to share this kind of stuff. I did feel guilty a little bit about how much time, I invested in GWISE for a bit. My PI also would sometimes make comments about like reminding me that like at the end of the day, my research came first. But at the same time, I recently was awarded the American Association of University Women Dissertation Fellowship.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Which part of the application process is your commitment to women and girls. So I would have a really hard time saying that I would think I'd get that award if I didn't put all this time and effort into GWISE. And I think it helped a lot because my PI is currently in the process of retiring. So our funding is essentially like zero. So this has provided like the funding I needed for my final year. So I'd say it's one of those like hindsight is 20/20. And to just, you know, do your best to ignore that guilt.
Yeah, I know a lot of, especially in like the beginning years of grad school, you feel like you have to like constantly be on for school, but We often forget that we have lives outside of school as well that we need to honor. So that being said, how do you make sure you still have time for self-care, breaks? Like, do you take vacations at all, or like kind of what's your self-care routine for yourself?
So running is part of my self-care. So it's like, there's a lot of overlap, right? Like I run with my group. So that's like the exercise part is the self-care. The extreme amount of complaining and venting we do together while we're on the run is part of the self-care. I definitely don't think I have issues making time for self-care. Like another activity I do that's not like a formal being involved in grad school, but it's a routine that me and a few friends have put together is we'll do dinners together. So it's really nice. I mean, you got to eat, right? Yep. So we take turns cooking, or sometimes we all bring a dish or whatever. And we get together, we eat, and it's probably the best we normally eat during the week, at least for me, because it's a more thought out meal. We talk about grad school. We talk about each other's projects. We help each other through things. So it's like, you know, there's not necessarily like clear delineation between, in my opinion, like self-care and work. Like it's all kind of a mess together.
So. Yeah. Yeah. The one leads to the other, leads to the other. Yeah. That's interesting. So before we went live, you were mentioning that you're doing postdoc interviews. Has getting involved come up during these interviews, and how has that benefited you during them?
So I haven't done any interviews yet. I just have one scheduled
and okay.
Hopefully one in the works. But I guess I can be open about this. I'm really interested in the ARACTA program, which is an NIH K-12 grant. I think it stands for Institutional Research and Developmental Career Award. I might be wrong on that, but basically it's like a training fellowship for postdocs, where part of their responsibility is like the traditional like postdoc research, but the other part is teaching at these partner institutions with the university that hosts the ARACTA program. And a big thing about ARACTA program is they want to know that you have a commitment to like teaching. And I think part of my involvement in grad school with like the WISE high school teaching shows that commitment. So, you know, this has come up a little bit. So like I said, I think it's really hard to completely separate things. They all kind of pool together.
Yeah. And those would, your journey to this point and having all of these different things kind of line up for you, I feel like definitely supports your case that you are committed to that. That's awesome. And then on like, alongside like postdoc interviews, but when it comes to building your resume or CV, how do you include activities that are outside of research on a CV? Or can you even somehow put these in?
Yeah, so trying to think of what exactly my CV looks like. I have a section that's like teaching and mentoring. So I put my teaching and mentoring in there, including like the high school WISE. And then I have another section that's I titled like leadership. And then it shows like the more of the leadership roles I've held in some of the organizations. Like, for example, I was the president for RGWISE club for 2 years. So that goes under leadership. I think, you know, you'd have to tailor it to each person's experiences, but, and then I also tailor my CV depending like what I'm applying for. So, you know, sometimes I leave things off if I don't think they'll be relevant or if they'll hurt. Otherwise, if I think they're important, I might move that section up.
Yeah, it's just like tailoring any type of CV or resume. But I'd be interested to see how you structure your CV for like just including some of these like fun activities that you do, or maybe that just comes out in like your personality as well when you're interviewing. And
so I don't have running on my CV.
Shoot.
But when I applied to graduate school, I did mention it in my personal statement. And as I'm putting together my talk for my upcoming postdoc interview, I actually put in like a little introductory slide.
Oh, yeah.
And of like who I am, since I'll, you know, kind of be introducing myself. And I did include running there. So I don't know if it's necessarily always something like you might put on your CV, but you could always, you know, put it as a talking point in the interviews when you like are discussing like different situations and how you'd handle them. Maybe it'll be relevant in like a cover letter or to mention in like an email inquiry. It all depends, I guess.
Yeah, that's really great advice. This was a fun question I thought of while I was reflecting on my own experience of getting involved in university. Do you remember your first activity or like council or anything that you became involved in university?
Yeah. So the first event I became involved, like went to was, it was actually with GWISE. And this was before I like got formally involved with them. I went to like a single GWISE event and then I didn't do anything for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I should go back and like get more involved. But I had like just started grad school and GWISE was doing, they got movie tickets to go to Hidden Figures, that the movie about the women behind the rocket launch.
Yes.
And I mostly went because it was like a free movie ticket. You know, your budget in grad school is nothing.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I want to see this movie. Like, oh,
yeah, that was
ticket?
A great movie.
Like, let's go. And that's when I, you know, first experienced GWISE. And like I said, I wasn't really involved at the time. I felt overwhelmed because it was like a group where they like all knew each other. It was a lot of like physics and math people. And I'm like, oh, I'm a biologist. Like, is this the space for me? And like I said, like I went to that, didn't go back for like a year. And then I'm not sure why. I think I just, you know, got busy and then decided to go back. And I've been very happy about that choice.
Oh, awesome. So are there certain resources that students can look for like on campus that might point them in a direction of getting involved? Because I think like the hardest thing is people don't know what they can get involved in or who they can look to get involved with things.
Yeah, so most universities have like a student government. So if you have like a graduate student organization or graduate student government, you can start with them. A lot of times funding for different grad clubs come through those. Usually website, like university websites also will have like a student activities and engagement type website page listing different clubs and stuff. You can look there to see if they have like a special subsection for graduate student clubs. And if not, I mean, I'm not saying not to go to undergraduate clubs because they have clubs for so many different things. You know, like you don't have to restrict yourself to just the graduate student ones. But also if you're not finding like what you want, I'd recommend starting a club. For example, a couple of my peers, they were really interested in learning about consulting and they started a consulting club. So
cool.
Yeah, a group of them who were interested in consulting got together. They started a club. They reached out to people outside of the university and like actually helped consult on real projects. So they gained experience. Now one of my friends who was in that club, Erica, she's now doing an internship and Hopefully they give her the position like when she's done. And then she'll actually be a consultant post-graduation. So, you know, you got to find what the right fit is for you. If it exists, join them. If not, create it.
Absolutely. Yeah. My friend, Courtney, who started the geology outreach program at our university, when she started that, she had this interest for teaching and stuff. And I think she really enjoyed teaching like first year labs too, and like those, like doing experiments and stuff. So when she started that now, and she was like, back then she was quite into kind of like hard geology type stuff. And now she's doing like a PhD in geoscience communication. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like just how that one little choice can affect so much for you. If you don't find what you want to get involved in, do it yourself, you know, just start a club, start your outreach program. That's great. So I think this was a question that came in from the audience. Do you have any advice for people who want to get involved in mentoring specifically, but don't feel like they're qualified to do so?
You're qualified. I think there's definitely like tutorials and workshops and ways to read up on how to be a good mentor. So half of mentoring is really just listening, and, you know, to your mentee and understanding what it is they want, right? You don't want them to be a clone of you. Just like that, you can think about your relationship with like your PI, right? Like a good supportive mentorship with your PI is they support what you need to do what you want to achieve, right? So not making you do what they think you should do for your best interest. So that's kind of what you have to do with your mentee. But like I said, there's a lot of resources. You're definitely qualified. You just have to listen. You can share resources. You know, you don't have to always have the answer to your mentee. You just need to like maybe help point them in the right direction or brainstorm ways to think about the stuff. And I think, you know, just get out and do it and it'll be easier with more time and more experience.
Yeah. And I bet a lot of people are already mentors to others without even realizing it by just being someone else can look up to, really. Okay. Well, I guess before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask if there was any other like overlying advice you can give to anyone about getting involved or kind of finding a way to get involved in grad school, or any closing remarks that you have.
I think there's just one point I really want to make. So maybe if you're a master's student, it's only like a 1 to 2 year commitment, but depending where you're doing a PhD, it's like a 3 to 5 year commitment. You really can't put who you are and your life on hold for a half decade. So I really think like getting involved is being respectful to yourself by making sure like all aspects of you are being like supported and celebrated. You know, it's one thing to put something on hold for a year, but you really can't put something on hold for 5 years. So please don't try like, and
yeah,
make sure, you know, you take care of yourself first and foremost. And I think getting involved is a good way to like help take care of yourself first and foremost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you meet so many new people and you get kind of out of your comfort zone, but soon you'll be in your comfort zone with them. And that's great. Well, Caitlin, it was really great chatting with you today. I think that's all we have for today. So I don't really know how to wrap up these, but thank you everyone for listening. Again, make sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, and we do put all of these in audio format on Spotify the Tuesday. So in Tuesday this week, or well, next week. So thank you all for listening and have a great Saturday.